Hey, good morning. Let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches. And snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They shall hear my voice, and shall come one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. There arose a division among them, the Jews, because of these words. And many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was the winter, and Jesus was walking the temple of the portico of Solomon. The Jews, therefore, gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews, therefore, took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blasphemed because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. And many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true, and many believed him there. Amen. So in chapter 10, Jesus goes back to his I am statements. And, you know, remember one of John's purposes in doing this was to expose Judaism as an inadequate system of religious belief, right? That crowned its other sins, right, by refusing the promised Messiah. And so, you know, he's making a case. Obviously, the I am goes all the way back to Moses. And so Jesus is making a nod to Moses, you know, and, you know, the idea of God who is the great I am. And so all throughout John, you'll see, you know, I am the door of life, I'm the bread of life, I'm the door of the shepherd, I am the great shepherd. And so these I am statements, you know, is a connect, you know, from the Old Testament, from Moses, you know, but yet it's not fulfilled. You know, it's not complete enough until really Jesus comes on the scene and the Messiah. And so he chooses this theme now of the shepherd. You know, and obviously none of us here are sheep herders, you know, and we don't really understand, you know, sheep and whatnot. I actually had a time, I was in Korea, last weekend, but I was actually there about 3 weeks before that. And I was meeting with you guys know, John Lee. And I was with John, you know, and he actually brought a friend of his out, and he was a refugee, you know, a North Korean refugee in living in Korea. And he actually was a shepherd, you know, back in the days. And he would tell me, and he kind of said it as a joke, but he told me, he says, you know, I actually could recognize every face of my sheep. And I thought, really? You know, and he says, yeah, it's actually not that difficult to do. He recognized, the funny commentary was that his whole point was that all Korean women look alike, you know, and so when he was on the flight, you know, coming to Korea, he couldn't tell the stewardesses apart. You know, they all looked the same to him. He could tell the sheep apart, but he couldn't tell the stewardesses apart. You know, it's kind of, you know, talking about plastic surgery and the whole thing. But the point I got was, Don't talk about the plastic surgery. The point I got is that the shepherds, they actually have a really keen awareness to identify sheep. You know, and we know that the nature of sheep, you know, we talk about this many times, right? They're not the smartest animals, right? They have major problems with their eyesight, you know, but their hearing is actually quite good. You know, and they're able to distinguish, you know. And so, you know, Jesus is picking up this idea, you know, and he's talking about his sheep, right? And that's, if you haven't figured out, that's every single one of us, right? We're all sheep, you know. Isaiah will also, you know, pick up this this kind of thinking and, you know, and imagery when he says, you know, we have all like sheep have been scattered, you know. We've all gone our separate ways. You know, and so us being sheep, you know, and so now we understand who the shepherd is, and he's the good shepherd. You know, he's not a hireling. You know, in other words, when trouble comes our way, he's not just going to abandon us because he owns the sheep, right? We all belong to him. He says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. See, you have to make that connection with these two verses, right? The only way that we can experience the abundant life, right, is because Jesus sacrificed his for us. The thief, obviously, you know, in this context, is talking about the devil, right? And so the God of this world, what did he do? He brought death. Right, he brought pain, you know, it brought all these things through sin, and he says, but I came that they may have life. And this is, you know, always been God's heart, the heart of the Lord, that we may have life. And out of that life, that it's just not life meaning just an existence on earth, but he says that you may have it abundantly. You know, the word there is actually overflowing, right, that your life would be overflowing. You know, it would be full. In other words, the intended purpose of God for bringing you on this planet, right, is one of fullness. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be rich and, you know, and blessed and all these things. That's an American Christian kind of idea, you know. But it means that you'll live a full life, right? You know, it'd be so many, you know, wonderful experiences and wonderful things that we'll be moving in our lives. And it'll become so full, and it'll become abundant. Your life will be overflowing. You know, isn't it good news to know that you're just not here to exist on this planet, right? You're not here just to take up some space, you know, and breathe some air. But God's intended purpose for his people, his sheep, is that they would live an overflowing life, a life of adventure, right? And the way that happens is that he lays down his life for us. You know, we were, you know, caught in death and destruction, right? But Jesus Christ laid down his life, you know, and it's important to note that no one killed Jesus. He laid it down himself. He says, you know, I do this on my own initiative. You know, in verse 18, no one is taking it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father, right? And you know, it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Jews, it was Jesus himself. He knew why, you know, he came to this planet. You know, God being Emmanuel, he came to be with us, and he came to die for us. Why? So we can have an abundant life. We wouldn't be slaves to sin, right? We wouldn't be, possessed by the enemy, right? But we would be free. And so he says, I am the good shepherd. As we go, as we continue down, right, all this discussion goes on. And then he finally, at the Feast of Dedication, they basically say to him, hey, are you the one? Basically, just let us know, okay? If you're the Christ, just let us know right now. And he says, well, how many times have I told you? How many works have I done? And, you know, and this is the key. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. He says, I know them, and they follow me. This is one of the main points. If you've ever read Lauren Cunningham's book, right, God, Is That Really You? Right, this is one of his main points. And what he tells his disciples, he says, expect God to speak to you. You know, just expect God to speak to you. This should be the right of every child of God, that you should expect the Lord to lead you, to guide you, to minister to you, right? To speak to you. You know, I mean, if you think about this, and it's kind of like insane, you know, how people come to some of these conclusions, but if you're in a relationship with someone, right, the most important factor in any relationship is communication. Right, you know, we're doing our premarital counseling, you know, right now with six couples, right? And we just finished the lesson on communication. But, you know, I have to tell someone that is the most important lesson, right, is how to communicate with one another. You know, and in this particular lesson, it's more about conflict resolution. You know, but it's the idea of communicating. How can you have a relationship with the Lord when there's no communication going on, right? You know, when you are not hearing his voice at all, you don't have a relationship. We don't know what you have. You know, it's just, I mean, even, I'm talking about even a casual friendship, right? A casual acquaintance, there's always communication taking place. Listen, as a child of God, you should be hearing God's voice. You know, if you're not hearing God's voice, you know, I want to suggest to you that there may be a problem in your relationship with the Lord, right? Because any relationship always is full of communication. Right, and so he says, you know, Cunningham. Right, he says so simply. He says you should just expect God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Right, listen. How can you follow the Lord if you don't know what He's saying? Right, how can you follow the Lord when you don't know, you don't have any direction? Right, you know, have you ever been in a time where you're so confused? And, yeah, I mean, it's like nerve-wracking, isn't it? Right, you got to make a decision, and you know, and but see, as a child of God, you don't ever have to go through those times. You know, I mean, there are times that you'll have to take a step of faith, and maybe that's where the churning is happening. But as a child, my sheep hear my voice; I know them, and they follow me. Right, when we talk about direction and asking God for wisdom and these things, right? He says, hey, you're just sheep, right? God's going to speak. You just follow. It's just, you're so clear. You know, Andrew Murray says, God doesn't just lead you and not lead you. You know, he's talking about perpetual leadership, right? Perpetual guidance. And he says, God doesn't just lead you and not lead you. God is always leading us, right? He's always the shepherd. You know, the issue, you know, and I mean, I'm paraphrasing all of his words, but the issue is we just don't listen and we don't follow, right? God doesn't just decide, all right, you know, today is Friday. I'm just not going to speak to Nelly today. I'm just not going to tell her what to do. You know, I'm going to take a break. He doesn't do that, right? He doesn't lead us and then not lead us. He always leads us, right? The key is, are we willing to obey, right? My sheep hear my voice, right? I know them. And they follow me, right? And, this continued on. Then he goes into, again, asserting his deity. In verse 30, he says, I and the Father are one. You know, and just so you know that the Jews understood this statement, they pick up stones to throw him. to throw at him, and goes on and on, and I mean, this is a huge thing in the Jewish community that Jesus is now asserting who he is, and it's creating a huge a ruckus in the area, to the point where they have to, some people believe in him, some people don't, but this is so offensive, to the Jewish leaders of their day. And the simple fact is, Jesus, in a lot of ways, is very offensive to people. In our world, here in Hong Kong, Jesus really, how do I say it? I mean, he's really a lightning rod, right? Some people are upset because, he's asking us to live a certain way. People get upset about that. Don't tell me how to live my life, kind of thing. Other people from different religions or whatnot are offended by his message, and people are offended by the church. You'd be surprised how this happens, But Jesus is a lightning rod, He'll say later on that I came to divide a brother and and sister and father and mother and and all kinds of stuff, right? He says, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, right? I came to bring a sword, and because it's the nature of his message, it's very offensive. It just gets in everyone's face, and there's all kinds of philosophical arguments and whatnot, but this is the nature of the Lord that we have and the nature of our faith. And the best thing for us to do is just get ready for that, that this is a battle is going on. It's unfortunate that, as Christians, we just want everyone to like us. And I mean, it doesn't mean that you should be a jerk or anything, but also recognize that the message, right, is a stumbling block, to Jews and just foolishness to the Gentiles. And we have to understand that. So let's close our eyes today. And meditating on the Good Shepherd. The thief comes only to rob, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. There's a lot of verses in chapter 10 that you should memorize. Ask yourself today, am I living the abundant life that God has in mind for me, for you? Because Jesus paid the price. He laid down his life for us, that we may walk in that abundance, that overflowing. And if you're not, maybe it's time to take a seat and just try to figure out why not. If this is the life that God has for us, why are we settling for something less than his very best? And the other side too, right? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow. Are you having a hard time hearing God's voice in your life? Maybe it's what Blackaby says, that there's a problem in the heart of your experience and relationship with God. As a child of God, you should be hearing his voice. You should know what his voice sounds like. And if you're not, maybe there's something going on that you need to investigate as well. So as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let me encourage you to go before the Lord.
In the light of his Turn your thoughts upon Jesus. Think deep in His comforting love. And the thoughts of sin and of self and strife will be lost in that rapture above. Give your heart unto Jesus. Cast each heavy burden aside, and the joy and peace of His presence near will enter and ever abide. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of His glory and grace.
Let's pray together. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we would be people that hear His voice, that we'd be in right relationship with God. And out of that right relationship, that His words flow into our lives. And even more importantly, because of that right relationship, that our words reach Him. You know, God is always speaking to us, even though we may not be listening. But the Bible tells us that if we regard sin in our hearts, God does not hear us. And so it might be futile for us to enter into a time of prayer, right, when there may be some issues that we need to take care of that really hamper our prayer life. And so let's take a moment and let's just go before the Lord and just do a heart check. Right? Make sure that we are in right standing with the Lord right now. I'm not talking about positionally. I'm talking about really in our lives right now. That there's any barriers for His voice and for our voice to come to Him that God would deal with. So let's just pray together. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for our local ministries and pray for the churches here in Hong Kong, particularly the Vine and Community Church, who just moved into their new places. Let's pray for YWAM Hong Kong. Pray for sports services. And they are doing their first ever school for sports ministry here in Hong Kong. So just continue to just cover them. Pray for Godwin and Shanti Ministries and Master's Beauty. Pray for Face to Face and Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. There's actually a meeting this tomorrow with a guy named Steve Kim, who's from CSW event. And should be a pretty good meeting. He was jailed for 4 years in China for helping NK refugees. And so let's just pray for their event tomorrow as well at St. Andrew's Church. Let's pray for SP Ministries. Let's pray for our worship team. Pray for Pastor Nate and for June and for Samantha and the team. Let's pray for our welcoming team and for Leanne and Hannah. Pray for men's and women's ministries and our local outreach. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon us as we minister through our people and to our people during this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for our contractors and for Johnny and Gigi at K plus K and for Tracy. A couple of important things. We had a site visit yesterday. Everything is going well. But there's two points that if we could pray for. One is the issue with our chairs, right? So they're a little delayed. And so, you know, it'd be horrible if that's the reason why we can't move on time. And so really pray for, you know, the people that are making these chairs and that will turn out really well and whatnot. And also there are some lights that are used in the back in the stage that are maybe delayed as well. And so let's just pray for those two things especially, all right, for our chairs and these lights to come into Hong Kong on time so that the time schedule would continue to go accordingly. Good news is the 10th floor is done now, and so actually IP is meeting there, I believe tonight, and Cascade starts this weekend there on the 10th floor, and so things are moving along, and so praise God for that. And so let's just continue to pray for the project, you know, pray that it would, you know, still stay to the budget and, you know, all that good stuff, and so just lift up. Thank you. Well, I failed to mention some other good news, too, is we're actually going to have a baptism pool there. And so we kind of worked it out. And so it's going to be quite nice. Lastly, let's pray for our weekend before the Lord. Let's pray tonight for McCain House Church. Experiencing God starts tonight, as well as Growing in Christ starts tonight. Pray for Growing in Christ tomorrow. IP is meeting tonight. Cascade on Monday. Let's pray for Saturday night is, or Saturday is our outreach with our Noah's Ark. They're going to the elderly home. There's a premarital counseling in the evening. Sunday, our two services. There's a house church leaders meeting Sunday night. It's a packed weekend. And so going all the way through, so just lift up each of our services, each of our meetings, that God's hand would be upon us, that great wisdom would really flow. Pray for those in discipleship, that they would really grow during this time and really grab a hold of their faith and just discipleship, right? A lot of it's discipline. And so let's pray that they would be disciplined and committed to growing in the Lord. And so let's just lift up all the leaders and all the speakers and everything that's going on throughout this weekend. So let's pray. Father, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for a full weekend. We thank you, God, for many opportunities, Lord, to draw near to you, God, to listen to you, God, for have you speak into our lives, Lord. And so we just bless you for that, God, Lord. Just watch over us this weekend. God, help us to give you glory in all that we do, Father God. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day, great weekend, right? And we'll see you guys soon.